Tashas Raschanu. This week is Tashas Raschanu, Shabbos Nachamu. The Pasha starts off, Raschanan el Hashem ba'esahi leimor. Raschanan, we know, Rashi tells us that there are 10 Lushoinis of Tefillah. 10 Lushoinis for Tefillah. One of the Lushoinis is the Lushon of Chanan of Chinun, is one of the 10 Lushoinis of Tefillah. And Moshe was mispalel to Hashem. Rashi brings down Dover Acha, Ze Echo Measar Lushoinois, Shenik raised Tefillah. It's one of the 10 Lushoinois that are called Tefillah. Archaim HaKadosh brings down on this pasuk, and he says the following: Arba'at Tnoyim Hatzvichin Kabbalas Tefillah. There are four conditions required for a person's Tefillah to be accepted. You want to know the secret to Tefillah? The Archaim HaKadosh brings down four Tnoyim. There are four conditions. What are the four? First of all, she is Balel. He should daven. Ka'oni Hadoyfek Al Pesach. An oni who's banging on the door. Like it says, Tachanunim Yida Barosh. When a person comes and he's misfal, he asks a bakasha, he can't come with the arrogant attitude, I deserve it, it's coming to me, how come I don't have it yet? A person is to come like the oni, like a poor man knocking on the door. Poor man knocks on the door, he knows that he's asking, have rachmanis, he's asking. So the idea to feel is the person comes and he asks for rachmanis. He asks the poor man knocking on the door. Second of all, is she vakeish mimikar harachamim. He asks from the source of all rachmanis. A person has to realize that the source of all rachmanis in the world is Hashem. It's not his friends, it's not Yenim, it's not this organization, it's not this cause. It all comes from Hashem. Hashem is the mikar of rachamim. The third is this manat figah, the time of davening. Like it says, vanis figosu ucha Hashem eis rotzon. Person is to daven with an ace rotzon, when the time is a time of rotzon. And the fourth condition is, shetia tefilosoi mifareshes. His tefillah has to be explicit. He has to spell out clearly what his bakasha is, and it should not be unclear. It should be a clear bakasha, what he is asking, what he needs. Those are the four requirements for tefillah, says Darach HaKadosh. It says Darach HaKadosh, all four merumas in the first pasuk, in Moshe's tefillah. Vaschanon, vaschanon el Hashem. Vaschanon, I pleaded. An oni pleads, an oni begs. So Moshe came, and he was misbalel. It was like an oni pleading, an oni begging by the door. El Hashem, the shame Hashem, is a shame of rachamim. You know, Hashem is midas harachamim, Elokim is midas hadin. So Moshe came, he was misbalel to Hashem, midas harachamim, realizing that Hashem is the mekor, is the source of all rachamim. But Esahi, at that time, at which time did Moshe daven? Moshe daven right now. And all the Mepharshim bring down, what's by Esahi? That's what Rashi brings down. La'acha shekavashti eretz sichon v'oig. After I conquered the land of sichon v'oig, Moshe saw as an Eis Ratzon. After eretz sichon v'oig were conquered by Bnei Yisrael, he saw that the Yidden were conquering, they went away into eretz Yisrael. So Moshe thought that he had a Pesach for his Bakosha, to be able to be accepted by Hashem. So he davened for Esahi at that time, and Esra saying, Leimor, saying, what's Leimor? Moshe spelled out his bakasha very clearly. He said it out as clearly as possible, and he didn't rely on Ramazim, on any hints, or any other ideas, but Moshe said it out clearly. Those are the four conditions for tefillah. Vaschanon, pleading like the oni by the door, Hashem is midas harachamim, Ba'esahi, when it's an Eis Ratzon, and Lema saying, when a person spells out Tefillah, he spells it as Bakasha very, very clearly. I know I said the story over, but the stolen Chassidim, when they daven, they like to scream. You ever daven and stolen, you hear an Ashrei, that's Ashrei. Stolen Chassidim, that's their, they daven. Stolen Chassidim was once by the Chark of a Rebbe. And the chassid said to the Chokhmah Rebbe Shabbos morning before davening, I know that here the Olam davens, we use it normally quiet, on a quieter side, but I'm a chassid, I'm a stolen chassid, and a stolen chassidim scream.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm asking Rishus from the Rebbe, that I make a carried away, I'll scream, I'm going to scream by davening. So the Rebbe said, Chas Hashem, scream by davening? There's no need to scream by davening. Here we daven quietly, like mentioned, there's no need to scream by davening. No screaming by davening. The chassid walked away. Was didn't understand. What did the Rebbe have against it? He said, okay, the Rebbe, he's not at home. He's not a shock of a Rebbe. When you buy somebody else, you have to follow the rules. So he starts off Shabbos morning davening, the same tone of voice like everybody else. And as he's davening Pesuk at the Zimra, it starts to get a little bit louder. By the time he comes to Nishmas Kol Chai, the Chassid can't hold himself back, and he shries and he screams on Nishmas, with a screaming slow, and screams that went all the way up to Shemayim. After the davening was over, the Chassid said, oh, you're my infant now. The Rebbe is going to, he's going to give it to me for what I did. So the Chassid went over to the truck of the Rebbe, and he said, Rebbe, I missed me in Mechira, I'm sorry. I was in the middle of davening, and I just couldn't control myself, and out came the tefillahs. The Rebbe said, you're coming to apologize to me? Why are you apologizing to me for? You're coming to apologize because you screamed in the middle of davening? Tzaka, screaming is one of the 10 Lashonos of tefillah. Screaming by davening? Gevaldik! So the Chassid looked at the shock of the Rebbe and he said, I don't understand. Before davening, when I asked you permission to scream, you told me no. And now that I screamed, you're telling me it's gevaldik. The shock of the Rebbe said to him, listen, he says, to start davening off screaming, when you're not at that madrega yet, you're not holding there yet, that's wrong. You start off davening where you're holding. You start davening, you're holding like everybody else. Start davening, start the brachas like everybody else. But if during the davening, you feel such an aliyah, you feel such a hargosha, you feel such emotion during davening, that you, memela, you raise your voice as part of your tefillah, that's gevaldik. But you have to rise to that level first. When you start off, you're not in that madrega yet. But if the tefillah itself brings you to that madrega where your neshama wants to cry out to Hashem, you want to scream out to Hashem, that's gevaldik. But that, there's no need to apologize. Everybody has their own way of davening. Everybody knows what works for them, what doesn't work for them, how much time, however it works. But a person has to realize that from the tefillah itself, there should be a hargosh, there should be a feeling, some emotions that cause this tefillah to rise even higher. The Medrash brings down, V'aschanan el Hashem ba'esa hilema, the Varm Rabba in Perek Yud Aleph in Ayis Yud, the Medrash Rabba brings down, Moshe davened 515 tefillahs, like the gematria of Aschanon. The word of Aschanon is Vav, Aleph, Sof, Ches, Nun. It's a pretty easy gematria. Sof is 400, Nun and Nun is 100 is 5, then you have 8 is 508, 509, and 6 is 515. The gematria of Aschanon is 515. Moshe davened 515 tefillahs, asking Hashem to allow him to go into Eretz Yisrael. And the marriage continues. Had Moshe davened oid tefillah achas, one more tefillah, nene miyad. Hashem would have answered his request right away. But Hashem did not want Moshe to go into Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem told Moshe, pasuk chavav, al toisef dabre elai oid badov hazem. Don't continue to speak to me about this matter, and don't continue to daven for this bakasha, because I can't grant you this bakasha. But the Medrash says, had Moshe davened that extra tefillah, 516th tefillah, he would have been answered right away, and Kadosh Baruch Hu stopped him from davening that extra tefillah. Sefer Chassidim brings down Ois Kofulamid, tremendous Loshon tefillah. He says, Yesh Odom, She'enoi Zakai, She'ekabel Hamokum Tefillosli. There are people that they don't have enough schusim, they're not Zaycha that Hashem should answer that tefillah. Even so, if a person pleads, and a person asks, a person cries, and even though he doesn't have his own schusim, Hashem still accepts his tefillah. People sometimes make a mistake. Who am I to ask? I don't have enough schusim. I don't have enough mitzvahs. Davening is not tolling schusim. A person is asking for achmanis when he davens. And even though a person doesn't have enough tzchusim, the fact that he davens and he shows that he's coming on to Hashem, and he davens and he asks, and that tzchus alone, Hashem is mekabelus tefillah. The pasuk says, kavi el Hashem, chazak v'yametz rebecho, the kavi el Hashem. Kavi, hope to Hashem, be strong, be hastobin, and kavi el Hashem. What's the second kavi el Hashem? The person davened, and he wasn't answered, what's the etzah? Nochamo. Kavi al Hashem a second time. Person keeps on davening. Somebody once came to the Chofetz Chaim, and he asked the Chofetz Chaim to daven. He said he has a certain problem, whatever the story was, and he asked the Chofetz Chaim to mispalel on his behalf. The Chofetz Chaim said to him, "Did you daven for yourself? You daven for yourself yet? Before you come to me, what about your own tefillos? Did you daven?" So the Siyid said to Chofetz Chaim, I already davened. Chofetz Chaim said to him, "You already davened? You finished already? Let me show you what davening is." Chofetz Chaim walked over to the bookcase, and he took down an old sefer of Tehillim that belonged to his mother. And he opened it up, and he showed the Siyid how the pages had stains from all the tears that his mother cried when she used the sefer Tehillim. And he said, "You want to see what davening is? Does your siddur look like this? When your siddur looks like this, with stains of tears and all the crying and all the emotion put into it, that's called davening. But until you tell him your siddur looks like this, that's not called davening." The person asks and asks again and asks again. As long as a person does it with a full heart, a person has a right to ask and ask and ask again. And no tefillah goes to waste for naught. A person might not always be answered the way that he wants. Sometimes the answer is a no. Sometimes the answer is different than he wants. A different way. But every tefillah is stored, is kept in Shemayim, and is used, is answered. And sometimes a tefillah might not even be used for himself, might be used for somebody else, or for a later generation. But every tefillah has its place, and has its time, that it comes into play. The Satmar Rebbe would say over, "Rabbis machshavas belavish, Vatzas Hashem Hisakum." When a person needs a Yeshua, Rabbis machshavas, but which a person has many machshavas. The Yeshua could come this way, the Yeshua could come that way, plan A, plan B, plan C. So many different ways of having the Yeshua. What happens at the end? Vatzas Hashem Hisakum. A totally different Yeshua comes that he never thought of. Atzas Hashem Hisakum. Hashem's Eitzah is what remains. It's what stays. Many times we have ideas, and we think it has to work out this way, if only this way, and at the end, Hashem completely turns it around, and it works out differently. Atzas Hashem Hisakum. But the ikir is that a person doesn't give up, and a person keeps on being mispalel. The Pasuk says later on, in Perek Dalet Pasuk Lamed Zayin, "V'sachas ki yohav es avaisecha." Hashem loved your avos, loved your ancestors. He chose his children afterwards, after them. I thought it was a clay yakor, but I'm not seeing it right now. I thought clay yakor means down that it was a schus avos. The sachas ki avos v'sechas. I loved your fathers. Klal Yisrael has a schus avos. They have a schus that they come from the avos, the imois, or schus of all their great ancestors, and that schus stands and protects the children throughout all the generations. And this marshal was brought down by many, famous marshal. There's a very tall mountain, a very steep mountain, and this mountain is impossible to climb. And people have tried over the years to climb this mountain, and nobody is successful. Everybody meets with defeat. And it's impossible to reach the top.
Meets with what?
Defeat. Means they can't. They lose. They can't reach the top of the mountain. And two expert climbers take on the challenge, and they prepare to climb the mountain. They have all their supplies, and they have all their, whatever, all the gadgets, the gear, whatever they need, and they're ready to climb the mountain. And they climb one behind the other, each one's holding the other one up. It takes a very, very long time, and they almost turn around, they're ready to give up, and somehow they manage to help each other, and they're climbing higher and higher, and the higher they reach, the harder it becomes, the weather conditions, the mountain's very steep, and it's very, very difficult to reach the top. Finally, after a long period of time, somehow they manage, and they reach the top of the mountain. And imagine their surprise. When they come to the top of the mountain, and they see a little boy running around on top of the mountain. And they look at him. "How did you get here? We're expert climbers. And we had such difficulty climbing the mountain. How did you reach the top of the mountain?" And the little boy says, "I was born here. I was born here. That's where I was born. I never climbed the mountain. I was born here. That's how I'm on top of the mountain. Okay, and the Nimshel is obvious. Klal Yisrael is on top of the mountain. We were born on top of the mountain. We have a different... We're different than the rest of the world. We're separate from the 70 nations of the world. We have a different way of life, different requirements, a different code of behavior. A lot more is expected of us. How? How could that be? We live in such a world. Look around. The world is heading in a downward direction. And somehow Klal Yisrael is supposed to be Mashiach. We're supposed to be heading in an upward direction. How do we go against the grain, against the flow? How's it possible? It's so difficult to climb the mountain to reach the high point we're supposed to be at. And the Torah says we were born there. Klal Yisrael is schus avos. We have a tremendous schus behind us. We are behind us. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Mohois. All the Gedolim, Tanoim, Amoroim, Rishonim, Achronim, and Fakert. The later generations have much more support behind them than the earlier generations. And the famous question is asked, if the earlier generations that were so great couldn't bring Mashiach, how could us, in this later generation living in such a world, bring Mashiach? And to this world, Mashiach's going to come. We're going to be able to bring Mashiach. The great Gedolim couldn't bring Mashiach. And us in America, and us going to bring Mashiach? Terah says yes. Because we're not standing by ourselves. We're staying on top of everybody else. We're staying on top of all the previous generations. On top of whatever they built. All the bricks that they built. We're standing on top of the mountain. We were born there. We have the schus of all the previous generations. The schus of us. And that carries us through. I think I mentioned last week, the Gemara says, whoever is not, who doesn't see the Beit Mish built in his days, as if the Beit Mish was destroyed in his days. And the question is obvious. Look at all the generations that didn't build the Beit Mikdash. Can you say they destroyed the Beit Mikdash? And the answer is, the Gemara doesn't mean to say if it's not built. If the generation doesn't contribute towards its building. Every generation in their own way contributes towards the building of the Beit Mikdash. Every generation puts out another brick until it gets complete, until the Beit Mish is complete. Each generation has their own challenges and their own issues. And when each generation passes their test, they filled in their bricks. They filled in their part. And now we're ready for the next generation. Until we zeicha one day to finish building the Beis HaMikdash. But we're born on top of the mountain. Since we're born on top of the mountain, we have a much bigger achrayus and responsibility than everybody else has. You're right. It's impossible sometimes to pick ourselves up from the depths that the world is in. But we're already there. Since we have the source of us, we're already on top of the mountain. We have a tremendous responsibility. At the same time, we have a tremendous benefit, advantage, that we're able to do it. We have the Aseret Nedivos in this week's parasha. Shomor es yoyim ha-shabbos l'kadshoi, perikei, pasuk yud-beis. Zocha v'shomor b'dibur echad nemru. Zocha and shomor was said b'dibur echad. Even though in parasha Yisrael it says zocha es yoyim ha-shabbos, and here in Vaschana says, Shomer Hashem HaShabbos, Zoch V'Shom Moseh B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the same word, the same breath, which is impossible for a person to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Zoch V'Shom together in the same breath. Zochor is the Aseis. Remember Shabbos, put on nice clothing, be Mekadosh HaShabbos, have nice food for Shabbos, be Mechabed HaShabbos. Shomer the Lois Aseis. Watch, don't do Melacha, hold back from doing Melacha. Zochan Shoma. From the Magid says that when it comes to the Ani, his difficulty is the Zoch. His difficulty is being Mechabed Shabbos. He doesn't have the money to buy food in honor of Shabbos. He doesn't have money for the yayin, for the wine of Shabbos, for clothing for Shabbos. But the Shomer, not doing Melacha, for the Ani, that's the easy part of Shabbos. Because he doesn't have Melacha to do during the week anyway. When it comes to the Asher, it's just the opposite. The Asher, the Zohar is the easy part. Buying food, clothing, yayin, wine, the ushers are very easy. No problem. We can buy whatever we need for Shabbos. It's the Shomer that's difficult. The rest from doing Malacha. What? Not to do Malacha on Shabbos? Without Malacha, look how much I stand to lose. How can I not work on Shabbos? The Shomer is the difficult part. Zohar v'Shomer, b'dibur echad nemru. They were said together in the same breath. The Zohar is just as important as the Shomer. And the Shomer is just as important as the Zocha. They go hand in hand. And the Asher can't say the Zocha I'll keep, but not the Shomer. And the Ani can't say the Shomer without the Zocha. But they go together, Zocha v'Shomer, the Dibur Echad Nemru. from the Shira HaKadosh. The Shira writes, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufit Ches, the Gemara says, Kol Ma'aneg Es HaShabbos. Whoever's Ma'aneg, the Shabbos, Zaycha Tanachos, with Mitzrayim, without any borders, Zaycha, the tremendous, tremendous reward. And the Shira is Medayik, the Rosh of the Gemara. It says, the Shira HaKadosh, Kol Ma'aneg Es HaShabbos, whoever's Ma'aneg, he gives pleasure to the Shabbos. Doesn't say, Kol Ma'aneg B'Shabbos, he's Ma'anik, he has pleasure in the Shabbos, but to the Esa Shabbos, but he's Ma'anik the Shabbos. The Ikka Kavon of a person when he eats food on Shabbos, he makes Kiddush. When he does all the nice and yon, the Zocha for Shabbos, is to give honor to the Shabbos, not to give the honor to himself. It's not Ma'anik that he's Ma'anik, he takes pleasure in the Shabbos. He's filling up his stomach, he's eating, has nice clothing, it's not his honor. But rather it's called Ma'anik, gives the honor to Esa Shabbos, he gives the honor to the Shabbos. The word Shomar, besides meaning watch, can mean waiting. Like you find by Yaakov Avinu, the Aviv Shomar Es Hadavar. When Yosef had his dreams, it says his father was Shomar. It doesn't mean Yaakov watched, it means Yaakov waited to see how it would play out. What would happen at the end? Shomar, person waits with anticipation to see what will happen. Shomar Esayim HaShabbos. Besides the mitzvah of Shabbos itself, there's a mitzvah during the week to prepare, to anticipate the Shabbos, to wait for the Shabbos. Shomar. Every day in davening, we say, Hayoyim Yom Rishim HaShabbos, Hayoyim Yom Sheim HaShabbos, to remind us every day to anticipate, to wait for the coming Shabbos. Shomar Esayim HaShabbos. It's not enough just to watch the Shabbos. We have to anticipate, wait in advance for the Kedusha of Shabbos. Famous Maisa with the Brisker Rav. Was the Rav in, obviously in Brisk. The politics is always a dirty business. Whether it's in the year 2016 in America, whether it was in Brisk in the early 1900s, politics is always a nasty business. And in Brisk, there was a Vad, the Jewish Vad, and they made the political decisions and financial decisions for the Jewish organizations and the Jewish aspects of the city. And of course, there were the Haredim, and then there were the Freya, and there was tremendous competition and machlokes between the two groups. There was one year, it was a particularly heated election coming up to elect members to the Jewish Vad, and the Freya, those that were not from, were very argumentative and very nasty in a certain way. And they heard that the Brisker Rav, who obviously was with the Haredim, that the Haredim printed up posters with a picture of the Brisker Rav, asking people to vote for the Haredi slate in the elections. And when the Freya heard that, they immediately printed up posters making fun and knocking the Brisker Rav. And the way the story goes, the posters that the Haredim printed for their slate, for their election, were not ready till Friday afternoon. They got delayed, and they weren't ready to be hung up throughout the city of Brisk until Friday afternoon. When the Brisker Rav heard they were first going to hang up the posters Friday afternoon, he said, "Mishumay for not, absolutely not, because it's going to turn into Chilul Shabbos. Because I'll give the people the posters to start hanging up, and they won't be able to finish in time before Shabbos. And to continue to put the posters on Shabbos, it will cause Chilul Shabbos. Absolutely no posters should be hung up today at all." So the delegation came to him and said, "But if you don't hang up the posters, the Freya will hang up their posters. The damage will be done. We have to have an even hand. We have to give an answer. We have to show them that we're also in the election, and people should be swayed by the posters of the other side." The Brisker Rav said, "I don't care. There's a chance of Chilul Shabbos? Absolutely not." And when he saw that people were going to hang the posters up anyway, he took matters into his own hands, and he asked him to bring all the posters to his house, and he took all the posters, and he put them away, and that one poster was hung up before Shabbos. They pleaded with him, they begged the Brisker Rav, "The election's at stake. We're going to lose the elections, and the Freya will take over, and who knows what's going to happen?" The Brisker Rav said, "I don't care what happens, Chilul Shabbos we can't have." They said to him, "But the city will be destroyed, the city will be ruined." let the city be ruined, let the city be destroyed, we can't be Mechal Shabbos. And the Brisker Rebbe refused to budge. Meanwhile, the Freya had gotten wind that the Charedim printed up posters, and that they had intended to put it up before Shabbos. So they were waiting for the posters to go up, and they would put up their anti-poster right next to make a whole to-do. The kids they're waiting, and they see that the Charedim, and they hang up any posters. So they don't know what to do. They think, they're going to outsmart us. They're going to wait till right before Shabbos to put it up, and they think we're not going to be able to put it hours up, because it will already be dark night. We'll show them. We're going to put our posters up anyway, and we'll be ready for them. So they went around, and they put up all of the posters against the Brisker Rav. They put it up all over the city, right, even into Shabbos. So, Mitzoy Shabbos, Brisker Rav gave the Charedim his posters. He says, go ahead, and he can hang them up. Over Shabbos, the whole city saw one side. They saw the side that was making fun of Brisker Rav. And because there was no other side, there was only one poster representing, one side representing their opinion, and they came across too nasty and too strong and too mean, it turned public opinion against them, and when the posters were put up by the Charedim after Shabbos, had a very positive effect, it turned the whole election around, and the Charedi slate ended winning the election. Okay, story. Some have cheshbonis, if we keep Shabbos, this will happen. If we keep Shabbos, that will happen. It's going to ruin this. It's going to ruin that. That's how we think. But Brisker Rav had one achshava. Shabbos. Shabbos has to be kept at all costs. Whether this will happen, that will happen, that's not what the Torah wants. The Torah wants of us to keep Shabbos. And if we keep Shabbos, Kodesh Baruch Hu watches over us. Just want to end off with the part I said over every year. As soon as I start, you remember, but it's a tremendous, tremendous part. Chavetz Chaim, Al HaTorah brings down Hashem Goyen Echad. Shame one of the Goyim doesn't identify who it is. Shame one of the Goyim, he says the following. This week we have the parasha of Shema, and in Perek Vav, Pasuk Bey, is a pasuk that sounds very familiar to us. I'm sorry, Perek Vav, Pasuk Hey. You'll have to say Shem Rakacha, I'm sorry, next pasuk, Pasuk Zayin. For how you had Vorim Ha'ila, Sharonachim Mitzavacha Hayoim, Al Vavavacha. It says the Chavetz Chaim, when it comes to learning Torah, the Yitzhahara tries with all his ability and all his power to stop a person from learning. And there are three main tactics the Yitzhahara uses. One tactic is, he says to a person, what are you going to learn? You're going to learn a few lines in the Gemara? Learn a few Pesukim in Chumash? A Perek? A Blat? What's the matter with you? Look how much there is to do. There's so much more to do. When are you going to finish everything else? What's the use of starting to learn a little bit now? You're not going to finish anyway. Look at all the Sfarim before, everything afterwards. You know, learn a Masechta? Who are you fooling? There's so many more Masechtas to do. Mishnayis. There's so many more Mishnayis. Who are you fooling? You can't possibly learn everything. Why bother? And sometimes the Eitz Hara says, you? You're going to learn? Who do you think you are that you're going to learn? Don't you remember what you did last night? Don't you remember how you ate today? Don't you remember you spoke Lashon Hara? Don't you remember what this Aveira you did and that Aveira you did? Who are you that you're going to learn? You're going to learn Torah? Torah is not for you. Torah is for Talmidei Chachamim, those who sit and learn in Yeshiva a whole day. Torah is not for you. You're not ready to learn. And sometimes the Eitz Hara says, you're going to learn now? Why bother to learn now? Wait till you have more time, not so pressured, not so much stress, life calmed down a little bit, it's a quiet day, or wait till you retire and everything calms down, and then you find time to learn. Why are you pressuring yourself to learn now? No mitzvah to learn now, you have plenty of time later in life to learn. Says the Pasuk, V'hayu hadvorim ha'ela, sh'arnechi mitzavacha hayoim arvavecha. You answer back the Eitz Hara and you say, first of all, V'hayu hadvorim ha'ela. These words. When you come to learn, you look at these words. The words that are in front of you. Don't worry about what it says before. Don't worry about what it says afterwards. Don't worry about the next Masechta, the previous Masechta. For how you had the Vorim Ha'ilah. Look at these words. Only what's in front of you right now. A person who is able to look at what's in front of him will be able to learn. And the Eitz Hara won't bother him about everything else. The Ikir is had the Vorim Ha'ilah. The words that are in front of you right now. Asher Anoichi Mitzavacha. I commanded you. Yes, you. Don't think for a minute that you're not right to learn. Hashem says, I commanded you. Everybody has a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Everybody, no matter who they are, no matter what they did, no matter what they do, Hashem Noichim Mitzavacha. You, everybody has a mitzvah. Everybody has a mitzvah to learn. And when Hayoyim, Hashem Noichim Mitzavacha, Hayoyim, that I command you today, not tomorrow, not yesterday, not later on, but right now, today is a mitzvah to learn. So when the Eitz Hara comes and he says, why now? Why tonight? There's a whole next week. You have next year. Plenty of time. Too much pressure now. Sharnechi mitzavacha hayoim. The mitzvah is to learn today. Hayu hadvarim ha'ela. Sharnechi mitzavacha hayoim. These words, I commanded you, hayoim, and today. And that's the Eitzah of how to fight the Eitzah Hara. To remember this possible. Hadvarim ha'ela. Just concentrate on the words that are in front of you. I commanded you, yes, every year, no matter what, every year, the mitzvah to learn of Talmud Torah and Ayoyim and today. Okay? So we're holding at the end of the summer now. The end of the summer, you know, the Gemara says that the heat, Shili the Kaita, the end of the summer, the heat is harsher than the Kaita than the summer itself. That's on a posher level. On a little deeper level, it means the Eitz Hara at the end of the summer is harsher than the rest of the summer. The end of the summer of some of the Eitz Hara, these few weeks now, before Elul starts, between Shabbos Nachamu, if you have Elul, it's Ben Ezmanim, it's a hefker time now. It's, in the world now, it's a free, the Eitz Hara is very, very great, b'chlal in the summertime, but at this point of the summer, it's a very loose time, and a person could lose himself. Today, in the middle of the summer, yes, it's hot outside, yes, hayoyim, today, it's a mitzvah to learn Torah. It's a mitzvah to go ahead, like there is a mitzvah the rest of the year. We're holding now between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Chodesh Elul. There's 21 days from Tisha B'Av to Rosh Chodesh Elul. 21 days, we find a few times throughout the Jewish calendar. There's 21 days from Shavuos B'Tammuz to Tisha B'Av. 21 days.
3 weeks.
3 weeks. 21 days from the end of Tisha B'Av till Rosh Chodesh Elul. From Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, it's 21 days. And it's farming down the idea of 21, but there's 21 days of tshuva, that's Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. There's 21 days of tshuva again in the summer, which is the 3 weeks. It's a different way. One is tshuva, one is Mitei Chaveilus. It's a different situation, but it's also 21 days. And then you have this gap, so to speak, of 21 days between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Chodesh Elul, before we get into the Elul season. So, depending how a person behaves these 21 days, it already affects the next month and so on. Okay, it's hard. These are the weeks that the Eitz Hara has koyach. It's hard. So let's be mechazik ourselves and remember to learn. And even though everybody has their own schedules, people go away, everyone's busy, but no matter what a person does, the key is to be chazik ourselves, to learn. With the koyach of Torah, a person has the ability to overcome the Yetzirah. Barasi Torah, Barasi Yetzirah, Torah Tavlin, Torah is the medicine against the Yetzirah. We have a way to overcome the Yetzirah. Let's be chazik ourselves. And mitzvah Shem, we should be zeicha to the Gugu Shrem, Meher Yemenu Omer.